Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Millennial Love, a podcast from The Independent on everything to do with love, sexuality, identity and more. This week we are joined by the dynamic duo that is actor and musician Diana Vickers and singer-songwriter Kiara Hunter. Together they are Kai and Dee, a hilarious comedy duo making light of the trials and tribulations of millennial life. They cover everything from fears around turning 30 to friendship and, of course, dating. Today, they join me to discuss the inspiration behind their hilarious viral videos on Instagram. We talk about some of their dating disasters, the agony of heartbreak, and why some breakups hit you harder than others. Enjoy the show. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having us.
So would you mind starting us off by introducing yourselves and telling us a bit about what it is that you do? Diana, do you want to start?
Yes, I am Diana Vickers.
The one and only.
What do I do? I'm an actress and singer and writer. I've been actually doing some writing at the moment, so I guess I'll throw that one in there.
Oh, I love that.
Musical comedy, yeah, part of Key and D.
Do you know what's so funny is that, like, hi, I'm Kiara, by the way. I went out on the weekend. It was the first time I actually introduced, I was quite drunk at the time, but I was like, someone asked me what I did. I was like, I'm a comedian. I was just like testing it out, obviously, because what we've been doing lately. But before that, I write songs, basically. That's what I do.
You write good pop songs.
Well, you are both comedians. That's why I wanted to talk to you. Your videos are absolutely hilarious. I am obsessed with them. I wet myself laughing when I watch them. can you tell us a bit why you started them? Because you started them in lockdown, didn't you? I'm guessing it was sort of just a lockdown boredom project that kind of spiraled.
Yeah. we were isolating together, weren't we? We were locked up together.
I moved in maybe a month before lockdown.
Yeah, and then we were like, what the hell is going on?
Stop with you now.
And then we were always sort of making up silly songs all the time in our friendship. We just sort of like do a little jingle here and then make a song about nothing. And then one day we just sort of like sat round and we called the piano the beast.
We strap ourselves to the beast.
And then we did one about the pandemic and then it got quite a lot of views and we're like, they love us. Yeah. They've got to have more.
It's so funny looking back though, because that was literally day four, wasn't it? And I think we thought, like everyone, oh, this will be a few weeks. Let's just see things. And then gradually as the months, it's funny. You can tell where we were emotionally based on the videos. Like, how puffy are my eyes at that certain time?
I know. But the one video I look back, I definitely had COVID in that video. I look like a ghost.
And how much preparation goes into them? Because I think the brilliant thing about them is when you watch them, they seem really off the cuff and they seem really spontaneous. But because you're so synchronized in all of your dance moves as well that you do together, I'm imagining it takes quite a lot of time.
Well, that's like 7 years of friendship, basically.
Yeah, we're sort of in sync. We've got the same language.
So, I would say probably no preparation goes in, or very minimal preparation.
Yeah, it's quite like rough and off the cuff kind of thing. Mm. I mean, we did our first live show a couple of months ago, and we had like 3 weeks to write like an hour's show, didn't we? Yeah. And that was a bit,
We really locked ourselves inside.
We actually closed the curtains.
Yeah, we did. Locked
ourselves in. We were shut in.
But I think we thought at the start, we were like, oh, should we be more like slick or produced? Because you look on TikTok and stuff, and people are so good at making these sort of comedy videos.
Polished.
And then we sort of thought, well, that's not really us as people. We're quite rough and ready and up for anything. So we thought, well, I think that's what people liked about it. So we kind of... We only now recently just started editing in some iMovie photos, like some zooming it. And we're very impressed with ourselves when we do that.
When it zooms in.
Cut to that and back. That's about as sophisticated as we get. But.
Yeah. Before I talk about some of the specific videos, can I just ask a bit about your friendships? You said you've been friends for 7 years. How did you guys meet?
I actually don't remember when I first met you.
I'm joking.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We have a mutual friend, Chantelle, who I've been friends with for like 12 years, and she was your manager, music manager, to start off with.
Yeah,
so I knew Kiara's like, this our friend's got a funny little Irish Liverpoolian accent. He's like, I'm managing this girl called Kiara. You gotta meet her. Yeah, and then I met you. I don't remember when I first met you, though.
I don't remember at all. We were like, we were friends, but we'd hang out on the periphery.
Like, yeah, we weren't like immediate friends. We sort of like, I'd be like, hey, all right. And we'd have nights out together. And then probably like four years ago, we started to be like,
we had
actually,
first one-on-one coffee date at Shoreditch.
It was
really
Shoreditch
like
House.
You.
It's a house that brings us all together. We're like, do you want to go to the gym? Do you want to go for a class?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We used to work out together.
Yeah, we'd be like, and then we'd get coffee and then we'd like have a wine and then we were like, got real close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you were like, then I have my house and I was like, there's a spare room going. Do you want to move in?
Yeah. And I was living on by myself at the time and hated it.
I had to go around to her house and like rescue spiders.
Yeah, kill spiders.
You,
it was
you weren't
terrible.
Doing real well there.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. So then I moved in and that was it. And then it feels like I've lived here for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
I can't believe it was a month before lockdown that you moved in. That timing is crazy.
Can you imagine?
I know.
Honestly, I don't know what I would have done. And also lived like it was a classic first apartment alone where I just made all the mistakes. Like I moved in, realized it was a basement. And no
this
one
is
tells
you all by yourself.
Yeah, like the real estate agent, like never told me that there's no natural light. Obviously,
so a dungeon.
It was literally a dungeon. It was like in an amazing location.
Oh yeah,
it wouldn't have fared well for me during lockdown. I think
no, it
I
wouldn't have
gone
done.
Crazy.
So it was like really perfect that you were here for that. Or
yeah,
else that would have been mental.
That would have been crazy. So it was really really good timing. And then obviously living with people, anyone during a lockdown is. Like mental.
Yeah,
so.
But we did it. We had a few slamming the front doors and going on a walk.
Oh, really? That was your tin of baked beans?
Oh,
that's
my God.
Funny because I remember having one in there.
We
that's
had funny. An argument about tin of baked beans. Yeah. And then what was the worst is when I was cooking a big pasta dish for everyone and then it fell on the floor.
And, I was like, and she just walked out. She actually just looked at it and went, I can't do this. And left the room.
I can't do this anymore.
And me and Charlotte were left to sort of scrape olives. We're like, it's fine. It's not that bad.
Oh, good times.
Oh, my God.
We haven't really talked about it. Like, I feel like as a collective nation, everyone sort of blocked out these memories.
Yeah,
but it was quite
hell?
Funny looking back. Where were you during lockdown?
I was isolating with my boyfriend and his roommate, and I, you know, we didn't live together. It was just we'd been in Mexico on holiday when they announced lockdown. We literally flew back the day that they announced lockdown, and I had two housemates at the time. And they were like, well, because you're already with your boyfriend, rather than you both kind of infecting both of your houses, why don't you just go and live together? So I moved in with him and I'd never lived with men before. So that was interesting.
It
oh
is,
my God.
It's
yeah.
a thing. It's a thing.
It's hard work.
Yeah, it is.
And different. So and are you still living together now?
No. So I live on my own now. Right. Yeah. At the moment, I'm living on my own. But yeah, I was there for about 8 weeks. And yeah, it was a very intense experience, as it was for everyone.
The thing is, like, people are forced into these situations, aren't they? It's like, I don't want to be alone. It's like, this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, some people, I think it broke some relationships apart. Friendships fell apart. Some people came out stronger.
Yeah.
You know, it was a funny old time.
I couldn't see my boyfriend for 4 months, even though we were in the same city.
Yeah,
and
that's hard for you.
And but in looking back now, I think if it had been the other way around and we could only see each other for 4 months, I don't know how that would have gone. If anything, like it kind of kept the relationship really exciting. It's like, I really miss you. You're only half an hour away, but I can't see
it's
you.
It was so extreme.
It was crazy.
I want to talk about how much you guys sing about dating and relationships in your videos, because I think that it's the same kind of things that we talk about on the podcast a lot, like everything like social media stalking and disastrous dates and heartbreak and everything else. So I want to know what made you want to start talking about dating in the songs, because it didn't really start that way, did it?
No, it didn't.
It didn't start that way. I mean, we did do one that was about the summer of No 69, because then that was a cover that we did, and it was about obviously not getting sex during lockdown, and people really enjoyed that one. We're like, people like a bit of this sort of honesty.
Yeah.
And then it got on to, we were both turning 30 and we were absolutely pooing our pants. I was like, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. We'd just be sitting in the living room like, we've only got 2 weeks left. Like, and then we were like, let's just do a song about turning 30 because it's just like really relatable. And people just really loved the honesty.
Yeah.
And then that sort of transitioned into, well, what else is a fucking mess in my life, yeah. My dating life? So, yeah.
Basically, it would be me on a Monday morning sort of collecting stories from Diana's weekend, because I've been in perpetual relationships for like my entire 20s. So I have to live vicariously through you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of what occupies a lot of our conversations with our friends. And
we've got a lot of single gal friends.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of us. And
yeah. Yeah,
we're just constantly analysing men on WhatsApp groups.
I mean, they could just give us so much material, don't they, men? Like, know. You know, they could be a bit more boring, but they just continue to
blow my mind,
provide much inspiration. So.
Yeah,
yeah, I love the self abuse one. I was just watching that earlier. It's all such relatable stuff, and you talk about masturbating to normal people, crying in the bar.
Yeah, I've done it. Oh, you give me Marianne vibes.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know if anyone's ever told you that, but and wow. That's about a bigger compliment as I can.
That is high praise. That has made my week. Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you do have that energy. Sort of, you know, that look.
Yeah, you got the look.
Oh my God, thank you. I wanted to ask you about the bit where you talk about Googling an ex's new girlfriend and social media stalking an ex's new girlfriend and wanting to make her your new best friend, because I have done that. I love that so much.
I know, yeah, and yeah, the worst is
tell the forehead story.
My ex-boyfriend, who I was like really caught up about, he dated quite a few girls after me. Classic. I want to be alone. Yeah. Don't want to see anyone. New girlfriend.
Yeah, liar.
You were in Soho House having coffee. You're like, oh my God, I was gonna say his name then. He's here with his new girlfriend. I was like, who the hell is she? And then you took a photo. You could only see her eye and her eyebrow. Probably just not even a full eye.
I don't think it was a full eye.
I think it was
more of a brow and a forehead.
I found out who she was by that eyebrow.
From that corner.
Are you serious?
Mental.
I found her on Instagram.
Within 5 minutes. Yeah. I was like, what? Okay. And then I had to positively identify. I was like,
you're like, how the hell have you done that?
Wow. Dan, I think, frankly, you should go work for MI6. That is very impressive.
Single women or women under 30 or
it's me and my friend, 40, Chantal, are like really good at it.
The best detectives. We can tell you anything you need to know about anybody, basically.
Yeah, and I've done that whole thing where you've been scrolling through someone's profile and then I've liked a photo from like 2016 or whatever. I'm like, what the hell?
That's rough. And you put it on airplane mode hoping that like it'll just... You know, like sometimes when you do airplane, it doesn't send a message.
Well, yeah.
I love all of the bad dates that you guys talk about. And I know you just said that some of the stories that you kind of crowdsource them, but I want to ask you a bit about the just hold on till you get home video, which is, I think, one of my favorites. For those who haven't seen it, can you explain the story behind it and where it came from?
Yeah, I was just dating this guy and beauty calls him around to my house one night and, you know, we did the deed. And I was like, okay, great. And I kind of wanted him to go, you know, but he was like, I'll stay. And then he was like, I'm going to use the toilet. And he went to the toilet and he's in there for ages, like obviously doing a poo and heard it all. And then he was like in there for half an hour and then he came out again and then he like needed the toilet again and then like I had no loo roll left and then he went to use my sister's ensuite. It just was a real nightmare. I was like, get out of my house now.
But what's funny to me is, I don't know about you, Liv, like I have been on the verge of like, you know, needing to fart and like not exploding, but like, you know, but you hold on
until you get home.
When you first start dating someone, you pretend like you don't have an arsehole. Like nothing is coming out. Like, you know, you're just on your best, most, I don't have any bodily functions. And then as soon as you leave them, it just all like, you know.
You just get out
of
there.
So I don't understand why you thought that was.
It was obviously really desperate, but like, just no.
Bless it.
No. I completely agree. Even now, you know, I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years and yeah. I'll tell the story because it's quite funny. I went on a run.
Yeah, go on.
And I went on a run and we were staying in this like little Airbnb somewhere and you know, my boyfriend never takes a bath ever. I always take baths. I love them. He never takes baths. For some reason, there was one bathroom in this Airbnb. I came back from the run. I was desperate for the toilet. And I came in and he was in the bath playing like really soothing music, candles lit. So relaxed. And I ran and was like, get out the fucking bath now.
Get out the bath.
And he was like, what are you doing?
Even go back in because it was really smelly.
Like, you're gonna need to leave that for 40 to 45 minutes. No one can go
oh,
in.
Oh no.
That's amazing.
It was so funny. The poor guy, he was just having a nice relaxing bath. He was like, get the fuck out. Like,
get out. I mean, yeah, we've all been there, haven't we? I had that though. I had a boyfriend and it was at the first stages and he had an ensuite in his bedroom.
Worst.
And he had some flatmates and he was like, I can't go and use the main toilet because you'll just know why I'm doing that. You'll know that I'm having a poo.
Yeah.
So I literally just was like, it was so overwhelming. I was like, I feel really sick. I've got to go. I like booked a cab
and then
I was like, I went to the Costa on the corner and then just was like, I'm going to have to just go home
now. This is what you do though. That is totally normal babe. The ensuite is a real danger because you have no privacy and anything that goes on in there is going to waft out eventually into the bedroom. So
I sort of own it though now. Like whenever like with my second boyfriend, I had 5 years, I was like, I need the toilet. You're going to have to put some music on.
Yeah. No,
and then true. You're going to have to go for a walk.
But that's an age thing though. I never would have done that at 22, 24. Like I definitely think like as I get older, you just become
just more honest.
Honest and, with yourself.
And if you really like each other, like you know you're going to fall in love or something, then you can be like that. But when you're sleeping with someone and you don't, it's not really going to be anything. I'm like, just go home.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do you handle when you're sharing these like very personal stories on the videos? Like, do you ever get any feedback from the people that they are about? And if you are dating someone new, do you kind of warn them and say, just so you know, like I do use my dating life for content sometimes because I've had to do that in the past.
From this point,
I feel like I'm really caught blocking myself. I had this like realization. I was like, I feel like no one wants to date me now. I do get a little bit like, I did feel bad about that guy, about the poo one. I thought that's upset. Like, I hope that he's not upset with me, but I don't name him, you know, and
only he's going to carry that.
He'll just know. Yeah. And there was one the other day when I posted the one about the breakup song and that was actually quite difficult, not difficult for me, but that was like a really emotional time in my life. And my ex who that was predominantly about follows me on Instagram. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to say something to him, like, because he'll watch it. So I was like, hey, just so you know, you'll may notice like some sort of like references here. And then he like voiced it at me back. And then you're like, what the hell? Like now I'm getting into some sort of like weird conversation with my ex, like that I didn't want to really happen. Mm. So it is a bit weird. And sometimes I have a bit of a moment, don't I, being like, oh my God.
Yeah, there's the flap like right before we put the video out, which for me, I'm just like, just do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's gold. Like, but there's a quote about something about writing. I don't know what it is, but everything is material. Everything is copy, right?
Yeah.
And I think for me in like songwriting or anything like that, like anything that goes on around me, I'm just like trying to use in some way creatively. But it is, yeah, it's really hard when there's real people.
I mean, around. You must feel that when you're doing this, like, you, obviously you're in a relationship and you talk about that. Like, how does he feel?
Yeah, your boyfriend. It's tricky. I mean, I used to, when I started the podcast, I was single, and me and my friend who used to host it together, we would go on dates and then literally the next day talk about them on the podcast. So that was interesting. And then, you know, sometimes the guys I would date would be like, when are you going to talk about me on the show? And then I wrote,
you're going to make the cut.
I love that. Some guys, some narcissists might actually want to date you to get a song about them on the podcast. You just never know.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic to work out. That's why I wanted to ask you about it. Because I agree with you. You know, everything that happens to me, I'm a writer and I feel like everything is going to be, you know, inspiring something that I do. But then there is this question of morality as well.
Oh my God. So it's a very fine line. I mean, I had to do the performance in August with my boyfriend's parents in the audience. And although I don't share quite as many things as Dana does, because quite frankly, no one wants songs about my relationship, being in love, so
being
nice.
In love, you know, I'm real happy.
But you know, Summer of No 69, that was predominantly about the fact that, you know, we couldn't see each other, couldn't have sex. We had to, I don't know if I can tell the Greenwich Park story.
Oh my God. Well, it's coming out, isn't it?
Well, we like eventually had to just like meet up and sort of do a George Michael Hampstead Heath situation. That was the only way we could have like physical intimacy for like 4 months, you know? And like, there's things like that where, well, now I don't think his parents are going to listen to this.
Say no.
But yeah, I had to like perform it in front of them and I couldn't look his mom in the eye. I was like, my God, this is so awkward.
You mentioned the breakup song. I loved that one so much. I love the way you guys sing about all of the various things that someone does to kind of distance themselves and distract themselves in a breakup that I think everyone does. For those who haven't seen it, can you describe what kind of silly things you have done to try and get over a breakup, both of you, and which ones made it into the video?
I had to go to India. I was adamant I had to go by myself to India. I was like, I'm getting out of here. I need to be as far away as possible. And then I just got all the way to India and just like cried the whole time. No, I did. I went and did yoga and I made some nice friends. And
I felt their ears off about the relationship.
But everyone that was there was going through some emotional trauma. Like, you know, people don't go to India for a nice jolly. They go there to
maybe not do a yoga retreat as well.
And then what else?
I booked a trip to, I don't know, I literally think I booked a flight to Milan or something and got to the airport and was like, no, I can't do it. And I got on the Stanza Express and just went home because I thought, I just want them to see me in a cool place. I want them to be like, oh, she's in
mysterious.
She's in Italy. That's so crazy. She must be so fine without me. You know? And then I realized I was just going to go to Milan and feel really sad in Milan. And I thought, that doesn't sound particularly great.
No, I just feel lonely. I felt like I didn't do India because like I wanted to prove anything. That was like, I needed to get as far away as possible. I needed like a complete utter culture shock. And I'd exhausted myself. Like I said, one of the New Year's Eve, it was actual real thing. I went round and found a new audience to talk about my breakup with. I was like, I was on the stairs. I was in the utility room. Like anyone who walked through that door, I'd be like, I can talk
I
to them
tell
about
you
this.
The story.
Just constantly analysing it to every new human that I saw.
Yeah. And then obviously there's the haircuts and all the shit that you end up doing to yourself.
You want to get a new look.
Oh, babe, I got a tattoo of like a lot. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. I got a tattoo at this awful place on Kings and Road in Dalston of that line. And to me, in my head, I was like, it's me drawing a line between me and him. No more. It was like in my head, it made all this symbol. And because I was drunk at the time, you can see it sort of blown out. You know, when you get a tattoo, when you're drunk, the ink just goes like because your blood's thin or whatever.
That's hilarious.
So that I look at that and that's pretty much the most ridiculous thing I've done on a breakup because it's just a line on my skin. It just doesn't mean anything.
That's hilarious. How
what about you, Dal?
Oh God, I broke up with my boyfriend who I'm with now. We broke up last summer for 2 months and I just shagged a lot of people I should not have had sex with.
Yeah.
and then really regretted it. Yeah, it was interesting. But I want
the state that we get ourselves into of,
I know,
manic sort of behavior. It's sort of unlike any sort of like a frenzy you go into, because you're grieving and you're just extreme. Everything is heightened.
Totally.
Kind of a magical feeling at the same time as being incredibly painful.
Yeah.
How, because at the start of the video, you kind of distinguish between like two types of breakup, the kind of breakup that you get over quickly, and then this kind of big seismic breakup that really changes your life, which are the ones that you kind of talk about. How long did it take you guys to get over those breakups and to move on?
Probably you're still going. You know, How long has it been? 4 years.
What do you mean moved on?
I tell you what, probably for me, I had got, to be fair, in my defense, I had gone through a trauma in my life before. So I'd lost a parent in the same year as my break. And then I broke up with the boy about what, like 8 months later or something. Oh. So it was a lot.
Compound effect. Yeah.
So it probably took me actually 2 years to start feeling normal again. But even now, like I am over it now, like completely over it, but I haven't been in love or really liked anyone ever since. Mm. So, and that's been like 4 years now. But
some
it's not
people
because
just like imprint themselves upon your soul. Like, and you just don't really ever forget the feeling of being with them. You can move on, but
yeah,
some people just really almost like signposts.
I wouldn't, yeah, but it's not like I want to be with him. No, I wouldn't. Yeah. But it's just more like I'm over it now. But yeah, 2 years,
But all I'm saying is people are more special than others.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, like there are some people that you move on from quite quickly and you never really think about again.
Yeah, and it depends what's going on in your life. Like I said, I was going through a massive trauma as well. So like you just, it's harder then. You're sort of stuck.
I remember getting over an ex and like really for like 6 months it took me. And then I remember when when you're finally like clean of them, you wake up and you're like, oh, I just don't feel like I need to prove anything or do anything. I'm just sort of, I'm happy again. And I remember that was the day I found out he got engaged. And that was like 6 months after we'd broken up. And it wasn't like a long-term relationship, but it was just a funny thing from the universe. I literally sat down on a Saturday night. I think it was the first Saturday night I'd spent alone since I'd broken up with him. I was like, I'm going to do a face mask and fucking self-care and all this shit. And then my phone just like lit up and I was like, right. And then then I took the face mask off, went to the box and shagged someone else.
That's how you do it.
I want to ask about the turning 30 one. You guys both turned 30 now, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you did that video and I think, for whatever reason, turning 30 is a particularly daunting milestone for women. I think particularly when you're single or you're in flux with your career or your friendships, which we so often are at this age. And you kind of tap into some real anxieties surrounding all of that. So now that you are both 30, how is it going so far?
It's fine. Like, I mean, in my head, I'm still 25.
Yeah.
You know, it's and nothing really... to be honest, I was walking around. I was like, I feel sexy.
I feel in control. I'm a woman.
I feel like a woman now. And really funnily enough, I felt just as I was turning 30, things started to like fall into place. Like things just sort of like shifted. Yeah. I was like really panicked at the beginning of the year. And then like funnily enough, like external things sort of changed, which helped my anxiety. But it's just a number. I do get an anxiety because I'm so single. I get an anxiety about that, thinking I do want to meet someone. Like by the time I'm 35, I'd like to have a baby. So that's always sort of a ticking.
Yeah.
And also in terms of my career, you know, being honest and being an actress in this industry, there is still sort of a nervous energy around being like, am I getting older? These young women coming through and that is scary and that is still a thing.
I think it's I think, you know, any milestone is like quite scary, you know, and exciting. But I think just touching on the song, I honestly feel like writing that song and the response that it got from, you know, especially other women who were also in our sort of spot in life, kind of made me feel better about it. I think that's partly why the songs are cool, in my opinion, because it oftentimes is turning something that we're both really scared of or have anxiety over into like a literal anthem that you can just sing. Because so many times I'm fucking 30, you know, which is great. And it somehow manages to like diffuse some of the stupid sort of pressure that we put on ourselves.
I know. And I think when I was going to turn 30, I had this anxiety being like, should I tell people that I'm turning 30? Yeah, will it look bad on me? You know, will it look bad? Like, will people think I'm like too old now?
I wasn't
going to
have any numbers in my birthday post.
Yeah. And then I was like, stop this. This is exactly what's wrong with the world. Like, we need to be really vocal and say that we're 30, but we still look young and we're hot and we're fun and we're cool.
I'm a cool 30.
And like, and we're going to make 30... fabulous.
Yeah, you just got to flip the script a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, so we just rebelled against our own anxiety, basically. Yeah.
And so you guys did a show together in August. I mean, you've got some more coming up, right? When are those? When can people buy tickets and where?
The 7th of December till the 11th of December in London at the Turbine Theatre. They're on sale now, so you should come.
Oh my God, you have to come.
I will be there. I will absolutely be there. I'm obsessed with the videos. Yay! I also need to ask you about the Jack Grealish song. Has he seen it? Has he been in touch?
A nasty
oh my
piece
God,
of work.
He's such a nasty piece of work. We still love you, Jack. But no, I would find it very hard to believe if he hadn't like at least been shown it by someone. Yeah. Only because we got roasted by the Aston Villa fans. When
really?
We got, so much anymore, we got abuse.
Yeah, we did. Oh my God, we got told to kill ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I think we like dared to sort of objectify their boy. And I was like, oh, you don't like being objectified as a man. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Funny that.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a bit subversive, isn't it? And like, I don't know. Yeah. We never saw it still going about.
So, you
days
know,
with his magnificent calves.
Yeah. I know. It's fine. We forgive him. It's fine. Like, you know, he's a busy boy, but maybe one day, maybe when the World Cup's around, we'll do Jack Grealish part two and then he'll notice us.
We'll never give up.
We'll never give up, Jack.
It's time for our Lessons in Love segment. So this is the part of the show where I ask every guest to share something they've learned in their previous relationship experiences. Kiara, do you want to go first?
I don't know. Like, I guess I just think that, you know, a lot of the times I've learned that the relationship I'm in is also a mirror to the relationship that I'm having with myself at that time. You know, like I look back on past relationships, you know, with some horror, but also, you know, with a lot of empathy for where I was at that time and who I'd chosen to be in a relationship with. And I think learning how to maintain a sense of your own identity within a relationship is really important because, as we all know, it can be anything can happen, can change overnight, people change. Mm. And if you're not a fully defined person without them, in my experience, I've found that quite hard when I've broken up with them. It's like you're breaking up with yourself. So trying to maintain a sense of your own identity, being in relationships is important. I guess that's the biggest lesson I've learned.
That's a really good one, I think.
Is that a good one?
No, it is. Maintaining a sense of autonomy, I think, is huge. Mm. And I think so often as women, it's something we put to the side to please our partners because we're
totally
I back that as well because I remember when I was in my 5-year boyfriend. We were like so like this and he moved in really, really quickly and we were so close. And then I sort of, and then 3 months later, I met my 2-year boyfriend and I took that energy of like being intertwined into him and he wasn't like that. Mm. My 2-year boyfriend was like very independent. He'd been single for like 4 years. And then I came in and I was like, I need to be like immersed in each other. And then it only took me from them being single to realize, oh my God, no. Yeah. I've like reset now.
Yeah.
So totally. Now I've been single for 4 years. I'm going to come in and be very much like, I am me, you are you.
Yeah.
And you're just a nice.
Yeah. I think being asset. With someone, because similar to that, like my boyfriend is very defined in his boundaries, you know, like from the get go was always like, no, this is my time, or, you know, I don't need to be with you every second of the day. And to me, I took that as a massive personal insult. I was like, what do you mean? Because in the past, my relationships had just become so enmeshed. Our existences together were just so enmeshed. Mm. And it's only through this relationship that I've actually learned. Some people do that when they break up with someone and they're single. But for me, I really have learned within this relationship that kind of level of autonomy is important. if you want to stay interested in each other as well, because frankly, if you sort of all over each other all the time, like, you get sick of them quite quickly, don't you? So
totally.
It's nice to have a bit of separation, come together. I feel like Esther Perel always talks about that, sort of watching your partner from a distance and how sexy that is, and then coming together is really nice after.
Ultimately, they just need to be like a really nice asset into your life, 100%. Don't they?
Yeah,
and it not be this like codependent.
What have you learned?
I'm just trying to think. Like, that was a big one for me. It's like, now that I've been single for so long, I'm like so self-sufficient.
Yeah, you are.
And I never go on date unless you are the one. I just don't really entertain you. Yeah, I like to have a little bit of fun, but you have to be, I don't know, you'll have to be something to really blow me away. I used to have a lot of anxiety when I was in relationships about like people's heads turning or like cheating and feeling quite anxious about that, and or when I'm going to date now and I like someone and then I like, and then I get anxiety being like, what if they don't like me, if they leave? My sister always goes, Dee, if they're going to do that, then they're going to do that. Nothing you can do will change that. If you're going to end up with someone, you'll end up, the world will make it happen, so stop like having anxiety around it. If someone's head's going to turn, someone's head's always going to turn. There's nothing that you can do about that.
Yeah.
And
having anxiety about something is sort of like praying for something you don't want.
Exactly.
So it's like, why would you even, it doesn't change anything.
It doesn't. So I've now just got like a bit more sort of like trust in the universe. Like, wherever he is, he's going to come along. And
we always try and keep it light.
Yeah, just keep it light. Just keep it light. And don't get stressed about it. It's going to happen.
I think the best piece of advice I read about that as well is just like, when you're having those anxious thoughts and you're worrying about all that kind of stuff, just actually think, well, like you said, is that anxiety going to actually impact anything? Mm-hmm. Is it going to change anything? No, it's just going to make me feel like shit. So why don't I just change my mindset and just stress less about it and just let what happens happen?
Yeah,
it's so simple, but it's like that's it.
Our motto, literally, we say that in our life as well. We just go, keep it light,
keep it light,
just keep it light, because there's just no point
with anything, friendship stuff, relationship stuff, work stuff, especially work stuff.
And in the meantime, you know, healthy, write funny songs about it,
and then fucking spill your guts.
Yeah,
that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you're a new listener to Millennial Love, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or anywhere else. You can comment and leave us a rating too, so that more people can find us. Keep up to date with everything to do with the show on Instagram. Just search Millennial Love. See you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.